live to the 680 Sports Desk for a Red Zone update from Carlos Medina.
All right, let's get you up to date as we're now hitting 2 o'clock. Much of these games already in the second quarter. Let's go ahead and start with a piece of information coming out of Tennessee. You do have the Miami Dolphins currently beating Tennessee 10-3 in that ball game, and quarterback Marcus Mariota took a cheap shot to his knee. It did end up being a 15-yard penalty. He has managed to stay in the ball game, but he is very ginger out there. It's an important thing to keep track of as the Falcons do face the Tennessee Titans in Nashville next week. Let's go to what's going on right now in Cincinnati with Buffalo. In Buffalo, you do have a 7-7 ball game. Cincinnati gets on the board.
First and 10, passed out of the backfield. It's Jeremy Hill, breaks a tackle, lunges end zone. Touchdown! Monstrous effort by Hill, 13 yards on a catch and run for 6.
Hey, now a 7-7 ball game with 11 minutes left in the second quarter. We do have a vulture alert coming from Detroit. That kind of sounds a little bit like a vulture, I guess. Langford for the Bears getting into the end zone.
Hand off, touch. Well, let's see. The officials are saying, hold on a moment. Jeremy Langford got the carry, and they're going to give him the touchdown. The rookie from Michigan State, Fox sent him in with the extra lineman, and he punches it in.
If you're not aware, that's when somebody gets to go into the game for like the last 2 or 3 yards and put the ball in the end zone. Fantasy players hate that. Currently 14-10, the Detroit Lions hold that lead over the Chicago Bears. In Jacksonville, a 7-7 ball game between the Texans and those Jaguars. That's with about 7 minutes left in the second quarter. Minnesota and Kansas City. This game looks a lot like Georgia and Missouri. 3-0 Minnesota with the lead. That's with about 6 minutes left in the first half. Also, Arizona and Pittsburgh. Arizona on the road looking to extend their record to 5-1 on the year. About 9 minutes left in the first half. They do have a 7-0 lead in that ballgame. Let's go back out to the guys at Stats, his home team. From what I understand, you're looking to give credit to somebody that really doesn't get a lot of credit in this town.
We've been on this guy for a long time, and we'll talk about him coming up shortly. This is the Bud Light NFL Game Day Show, live from Stats in the Lucky Marietta District, brought to you by DraftKings and presented to you by Kroger. I'm home team here with Chris Mooneyham until 4 o'clock here on Sports Radio 680 The Fan. You just heard Carlos Medina with one of your 680 The Fan Red Zone updates. You will get that every 10 minutes here on 680 The Fan until 7 o'clock this evening. A guy who's been in charge for nearly a decade who might need some credit, Chris Mooneyham. We all, at one point or another, kind of like the cable man.
Guilty.
Who showed up late. Kind of like the person that ordered a little bit too much when you were footing the bill and he went and got 3 drinks too many. You got mad and talked about him. We've talked about Thomas Dimitroff. And a lot of it has been bad. You put the ledger to the side. The good was Matt Ryan. The good was John Abraham. The good was the running game we had when we were able to go to the NFC title game and we were able to get Michael Turner going. The bad, a lot of the draft picks, not having a great offensive line, not having a great defensive line. But now Dan Quinn comes in. Devontae Freeman comes in. It looks like the players that Dan Quinn and Thomas Dimitroff have collectively agreed upon.
There you go.
Are working. You have to give him, I think, some credit, just like we gave him a little bit of criticism.
How much credit do you want me to give him? Where's your number 1 to 10?
I give
a
him
6.5.
I give him a 6.
There we go. Okay, good. Then
you're paid to get us to a Super Bowl.
There you go.
So that's your job. But I'm gonna give him a 6.
We're close to being on the same page. You know, for a few years here, the greatest defensive draft pick he had was Curtis Lofton.
An average player.
Now, that says something.
Yeah, an average football player who is now out in
that's
Oakland.
Right. Now, think about that. That's nearly a fact, okay? I would be about the same spot, about a 6.5 in my my credit to him for the success this team has put together this year. Who brought Dan Quinn in? Who had the final decision on Dan Quinn? That's what I'd really like to know the most. We know that during the interview that Arthur Blank was out there. We know that Arthur Blank, when he waited until they got in the limo, left the hotel, got in the limo, got all the way to the airport, and boarded the private jet. And when they jumped on the private jet, that is when he turned to his brass, the people that were with him, and that is when he said, that guy might be our next head coach. I'm interested to – my point being in all this rambling, How much control exactly has Thomas had over the last year and even 2 years as new guys have been brought in to the fold to surround him, like Pioli and those
guys?
Well,
you have to know the coach has a lot to do with who's going out the door.
Right.
I can't work with this guy. He doesn't fit with what we do.
Right.
The departures, when you look at who the Falcons have let go, certainly Dan Quinn has to come in, size up what he can work with on a Sunday and let him go. But when you look at the folks that came in, the Claibornes, when you look at drafting last year before Dan Quinn got here, Devontae Freeman.
Yeah.
When you look at Tevin Coleman, which provides you depth, and Tevin Coleman, even though he's dealt with injuries, certainly looks like he is a very formidable option to be a number two or a number one.
The cornerbacks are coming together, Trufant and Alford.
It looks like you invested well in those guys, and they're out there, and they are competing. Robert Alford probably a tick behind where Trufant is, but
no doubt,
he helped us win a game last week or the week before last. And so I think Thomas Dimitroff, even though it's taken a long time, I think you do have to give him credit for this 5-0 start, because some of the talent that is on the field that Dan Quinn has to work with, you have to say Thomas Dimitroff had a hand in that.
Still his guys.
Yes, no question.
Still Dimitroff's guys. Yeah, and I don't disagree with that. Willie Moe, when he's on the field and he's healthy.
No question.
Exactly right. Is he a top 10?
He is a difference maker.
Is he a top 10 safety?
A top 10 safety, I would say.
Maybe 15.
I would have to go through a list. He's close.
Go. Okay.
He's
right.
Close. Willie Moe makes a difference. I don't know if he's a game changer. He's a difference maker on the football field. He will dislodge a football. He will stop somebody on a third down, and he will come up with an interception when you need one.
Again, my biggest complaint has just been the lack of depth for the Falcons, even in the big years, even when we were playing the Niners in the NFC Championship game. Depth has not always been an issue.
Yeah, on the offensive line,
it's always been. Yeah, but it's always been an issue, even in our skill positions. And for me, that's the thing. Part of the GM's job is not just to build at the playmaking positions, as we're so wont to say. It's easy to not screw up the number three pick in the draft. We always say that. The key is getting guys in the fourth, in the fifth, and the sixth round to make the roster and be your quality backups that are going to make a difference in a divisional playoff or late in the season. And for me, that's been my biggest negative for him, is that we've not seen depth when we've needed depth, i.e. guys going down.
And we still can't get after the quarterback. There's still a criticism.
There's that too, yeah.
You know, when you change coaches and a lot of the players are gone, but a lot of the impact players are still here, and you still can't get after the quarterback, that's something. I mean, even right now in the middle of this season, you got to know going into the offseason, addressing the pass rush and getting somebody else to get after the quarterback has to be first and foremost on the minds of the Atlanta Falcons brass.
He's played some hunches. Have you noticed? I don't know if anybody's ever said it like that, but that just popped in my head. I think he's played some hunches, gone with a gut feeling on some of these pass rushers that have not panned out. Obviously, we know about Edwards. That's one thing, and we won't get into all that. But anyway, it is what it is. Again, I want to see the team. We've seen it be very in vogue over the last few years with all these teams that are making runs to the championship. A lot of these teams are incredibly deep. We've talked about it with Seattle over the last 4 years. Oh, my goodness. It's just guy after guy, wave after wave of top player, good backups coming into the ball game and being high impact. I think that's part of my thing for him, where I'll give him a pass on some aspects. But you said it, pass rush and then the lack of depth. That's my big thing.
And I think we have to look at, you know, Justin Durant certainly looked like he is a guy who the Falcons
think
will benefit, but he's injured.
Yeah.
One of those deals where we see our linebacking core, if it's not a run play, it could be a problem. Our linebackers do not look like their strength is running after tight ends or folks in the flat. That's something that you got to know offensive coordinators are going to take a look at.
And I love the point, and that's something we didn't plan on getting into, but I wanted to throw that point at you. Actually, at some point today, do you think about getting into more of a nickel set? Do you think about going heavier with defensive backs as opposed to some of the linebackers? Because, man alive, were they exposed last week.
And we'll see. There are not many teams that have. And, look, Ben Watson, he hadn't done that in a long time.
Wait, who?
Benjamin Watson.
Still in the league.
He hadn't done that in a long time.
Are you sure?
But you don't want that to open the gates of teams utilizing their tight ends to punish the Atlanta Falcons. It's time now for you to get updated on what's going on around little world of the NFL, and you'll get that done right now from Carlos Medina, who has your 680 The Fan Red Zone update.
Let's go live to the 680 Sports Desk for a Red Zone update from Carlos Medina.
Thank you, gentlemen. QB injury is a major part of the game. The Pittsburgh Steelers, well, they've had their handful already, and now their backup quarterback, Michael Vick, has just come out of the ballgame, a head-first slide. He did take a knee to the head. He was taken off the field. Didn't look like it was a bad deal, but he's being evaluated on the sidelines as of right now. So Landry Jones did finish up that drive. Currently in Pittsburgh, it is a 7-3 lead. Arizona has that lead with about 6 minutes left in the first half. One of the things we are keeping track of, Marcus Mariota, the next quarterback that the Atlanta Falcons are scheduled to see. Well, he took a cheap shot to his knee. He was able to stay in the ball game, but he is not right. Currently, Miami does have a 17-3 lead in Nashville. That's with 5 minutes left in the first half. Fantasy players rejoice a little bit. One of the guys that's been missing for the better part of the year has been Detroit Lions receiver Calvin Johnson. He did make his presence felt today.
Good situation for Stafford to throw. And there's Calvin Johnson, who's loose inside the 20 of the Bears.
Currently a 14-3 lead for Detroit as Calvin Johnson was able to take that 43 yards. He does have 51 yards on the day thus far. Let's go over to Buffalo, where Cincinnati, they're taking charge of this thing in the second quarter.
Dalton from the gun, critical third and one. It's Bernard shot out of the cannon into the end zone for the Cincinnati touchdown. 17 yards as the Bengals take their first lead.
Giovanni Bernard into the end zone. Jeremy Hill scored one in the first quarter. You now have with Cincinnati on a Mike Nugent field goal just added right now with 7 minutes left in the half. Cincinnati now has a 10-point lead, 17-7 in that ball game. We finally have a touchdown in Minnesota.
Third and goal. Bridgewater over the middle. Touchdown. Tight end Kyle Rudolph with his second touchdown catch of the season.
What was a 3-0 game for the longest time is now a 10-0 ball game with Minnesota holding on to that lead. Around the NFL, the Jets do currently lead the Washington Redskins. 2 minutes left in the first half in that ball game. That is a 10-7 ball game as of right now. Also from Jacksonville with Houston. Houston does hold a slim lead with about 3 minutes left in the half. That is a 10-7 ball game. Coming up next, fellas, with a lot of these teams in competition, which one of them can't trust their quarterback? That's coming up next right here on 680 The Fan.
This month, the College Football Hall of Fame and Chick-fil-A Fan Experience is giving you the chance to enjoy the Haunted Hall of Fame. Ever seen Dracula kick a field goal or a mummy try to knock home an extra point? Trick or treat at the hall with the ghosts of greats past and experience the 95,000 square feet of interactive fun. We'll have daily costume contests, special treats, and many other Halloween activities to entertain ghosts, goblins, and superheroes of all ages. And all activities included with admission. To purchase tickets, call 404-880-4800 or purchase online at cfbhall.com.
Ever have somebody come to your house and try to sell you something that you know you don't need? Dr. Roof, they came out to my house. I was having some trouble with a leak. They went up on the roof, and you're expecting the worst. You're expecting the guy to come down and say, hey, you know what? That whole roof has got to go. Guy comes down, great guy, nice guy, a guy that I welcomed into my home, and he says, you know what? Your roof looks pretty darn good. You got a little bit of a leak there around the fireplace. We can take care of that in no time at all. The guy shows up the next day, and it's fixed. 90,000 satisfied customers since 1988. They've been treating people that way since 1988. That's why they're still in business, and that's why they're the roofing company here in Atlanta. They're Atlanta's most recognized and trusted roofer. They're Trustdale certified. They're Rood recommended. A-plus from the Better Business Bureau. Check out the Kudzu reviews. There's over 500 of those. The most important thing is do the research and then call our friends at Dr. Roof. Keeping the outside outside since 1988. When it comes to your roof, there's Dr. Roof. And there's everybody else. You can check out the website at drroof.com.
If you're a homeowner like me, you know you want good people doing good work for you. And that's where Breda Pest Management was such a great fit for my family. Here's the way it works. You have somebody come out who's going to take care of normal pest control for you. But that same guy, you're going to get to know him. You're going to get to know him as almost part of your family because he's going to come back. You'll build a relationship with the same person over and over. That's the kind of quality service you're going to get from Breda Pest Management. They do it all. Termite control, mosquitoes, rats, mice, squirrels, bats, all of it. If you've got termites in your house, you need to get Breda out now. Breda uses liquid treatments, not bait. The odds of that termite finding the bait are as good as me seeing an Atlanta team win a championship in my lifetime. The best part of what Breda does is the guarantee. They come back in 90 days to show you they removed the damage. That's Breda Pest Management. With over 50 trucks and 40 years of experience, they know how to get the job done right. Now you have to get in touch with Breda Pest Management. Go online to BredaPest.com. That's B-R-E-D-A Pest.com. Or give them a call at 770-466-6700.
You'll never know when your furnace is going to break, but it won't be in the summer when it's not running. Dan Jape of Reliable Heating and Air reminding you to call early. Don't wait until you're stuck in a freezing cold house to have your furnace checked. Call Reliable today for the most complete tune-up in town, or have us out to show you special preseason pricing on the new Trane True Comfort system that's hard to stop. Visit on the web at ReliableAir.com or call 770-594-9969 today.
Heads or tails, kick or receive, with the wind or against the wind. Buy your friend a Bud Light. Buy a stranger a Bud Light. Go to your team's bar. Go to the opposing team's bar. Buy a round during the next truck commercial. Buy a round during the next Talking Duck commercial. If you're truly up for whatever this weekend, grab the perfect beer for whatever happens. Crisp, refreshing Bud Light. Make two plans and let the NFL coin toss make the call. Enjoy responsibly. Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
It's Bud Light's NFL Game Day, presented by DraftKings and Kroger on Atlanta's home for NFL football. 680 The Fan on FM at 93.7.
Welcome back into Bud Light's NFL Game Day, brought to you by DraftKings, presented to you by Kroger. Live from Stats in the lucky Marietta District here on Sports Radio 680 The Fan on FM at 93.7. Home team and Chris Moodyham here until 4 o'clock this afternoon. You just heard Carlos Medina before the break update you on an injury situation. Mike Vick hitting the head, knocked out. Ben Roethlisberger already out. They're on their third-string quarterback situation in Pittsburgh. That's not good, Chris Moodyham.
Yeah, Landry Jones, the Oklahoma kid, now in at quarterback for Pittsburgh, unless it's just changed. Don't have that feed here in front of me, but had a chance to see the play. As Lowe said, Vic trying to dive headfirst underneath a tackle, and I think either a big defensive back or a linebacker came flying in on him and kind of pounced on his back, and the knee drove into the side and kind of into the back of his head. He tried to pop up and get back to the middle of the field and into the huddle, but I think it was Ed Hockley, actually, was right there on top of him. Put his arm up on his shoulder pad and started talking to him, and then kind of slid his arm around to his back and started escorting him to the sideline.
Yeah, the world has changed. Concussions are going to be severely and very carefully monitored, and guys just have to know when you get the bell rung, you're coming off the field. We'll get to some injury news in about 6 minutes as guys have been banged up, major parts of franchises, some of them coming back this week, and we'll see how that shapes up. But there can be some quarterbacks that can hurt their teams as well. We talked about Peyton Manning.
Speaking of injuries.
He's not injured, but he's got to find a way to generate some offense.
Isn't he?
He's got to find a way. They have a great kicker and a great defense. Offense has to do something with Bebe Thomas out there running around with Emmanuel Sanders.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I think he is injured. But, again, I'm not going to play conspiracy theorist. You got an interesting list here, though, of guys that you're wondering if they could cost their teams potential success. And it really runs a gambit.
These are guys you want on your fantasy team.
Some of them are,
These guys you think are these $100 million guys.
Russell Wilson, Peyton Manning, Matt Stafford, Ryan Tannehill. I'm gonna take the obvious, and I hope it doesn't seem like the lazy way out. But
yeah, Tannehill's a mess.
I'm going to go Tannehill.
He's a mess.
You
right
already
now.
Knew. And I know it's lazy, but, man, it's quite obvious.
Which I can't understand. Even if everybody knows he can't throw it down the field yet, even though you knew that coming in. He's not effective way down the field with the stretch plays, but he's a big quarterback. He does have a good command of the game. You know, Alex Smith is not a guy that goes way down the field all the time. You would think, not necessarily dinking and dunking, but some of the routes that you would think they draw up for the guy, he should be able to move that Miami offense down the field, and he just has not been able to do it.
And you know what? I think he started in a very positive way today. Actually, his team's up 17-3. I'm going to pull up the numbers here. There's a reason people like Tannehill. And I'm not really trying to bag. I guess I am by default bagging on the kid. 9 out of 12 for 104. No scores and an interception. That's up to the minute. 9 out of 12 for 104 and an interception. No touchdowns.
Lamar
to go
Miller
along
with 91 yards rushing. So the run game has
that's
showed
the
up
answer,
for the
right.
Dolphins today.
And Landry must have had a wide receiver streak type running play, an end around, something like that, because he got into the end zone as well. They love the smarts for Landry, apparently. But, you know, there's a lot that's left to be desired.
Well, something we always desire, our Red Zone update, and you get it right now from Carlos Medina here on Sports Radio 680 The Fan.
Let's go live to the 680 Sports Desk for a Red Zone update from Carlos Medina.
Oh, so very desirable is a healthy quarterback. Let's get you up to date with what's going on in Pittsburgh. Michael Vick knocked out of the previous drive with an apparent head injury. He is sitting on the sidelines. He has his helmet between his feet. Landry Jones was able to finish out the drive. We'll keep you up to date if he's able to get back in that game. Once again, Arizona up 7-3, just with about a minute 51 left in that half. Let's take you on out to Cleveland, where Denver has a 10-0 lead. That touchdown compliments of the Denver defense.
The story is going to be a distraction if it continues. Picked off! Aqib Talib! It's a pick six and a foot race that Talib will win for the touchdown. The Broncos continue to produce points with their defense. McCown victimized by Talib.
Thank you to CBS Sports for that audio. Also, let's take a look at what's going on. Gentlemen, y'all were wondering about what's up in Tennessee as Miami getting ready to get near halftime. They do hold a 17-3 lead in that ballgame, and Lamar Miller a big part of that.
Second and goal from the 7-yard line. Lamar Miller to the 5. Miller still moving, and Lamar Miller is in. Touchdown, Miami.
Run game working for Miami, and once again, let's point it out, Mariota, for the quarterback for the Tennessee Titans, did take a shot to the lower portion of his knee. It was flagged. He is moving around a little gingerly. The Falcons do play the Tennessee Titans once they get off of their mini bye week. Currently in New York, or New Jersey, technically, the Redskins and Jets are currently tied at 10 apiece in that ballgame. That's with about 30 seconds left in the half. The Bengals 17-7 over the Bills as they look to move to 6-0 with about 3 minutes left in the first half. Also, the Bears and the Lions winless on the season, but they do have a 1-point lead, 14-3 in that ball game. Let's take you back out to home team and Mooney out at Stats.
Thanks, Los. You'll hear Carlos every 10 minutes as we will provide you with updates in our Red Zone Update Center, as we will give you news, notes, scores, injuries, and everything you need to know to be safe driving on the road listening to Sports Radio 680 The Fan.
Real quick, this just come across. Shane Ray carted off the field for the Broncos. Yeah, and of course, yeah, already without DeMarcus Ware. Bad news, too. Just watch the highlight of it here on NFL.com, and it did not look good, home team.
Yeah, you hate to see injury. You know, it's just part of the game, and that's the unfortunate part of the NFL and why salaries are so high. They pay people who are going to get hurt.
Pay you to get hurt. That's right.
And it's just one of those deals where you just hope young guy doesn't lose his entire rookie season. He's able to come back and play and be a benefit to his organization.
Just real quick, do you remember he had knee issues before? What, do you remember which one it was? It was his right knee that he was just grabbing.
Cannot I cannot remember.
Yeah, I couldn't either. Sorry to put you on the spot. I couldn't remember either. So,
well, injuries are a big part of the season so far. You've had some major injuries. We just heard in one of the last Red Zone updates from Carlos Medina, Mike Vick knocked out, hit in the head, kicked in the helmet. Apparently, Ed Hockley had to call the timeout and help him get off of the field.
Yeah.
So that's the backup quarterback situation, because the starting quarterback, Ben Roethlisberger, you know, out with his leg injury. So Pittsburgh has all kinds of quarterback issues. That's why it's so important not to drop games early in the season, because everybody has to go through the injury bug. We saw today LeSean McCoy coming back from a hamstring situation in Buffalo. Rex Ryan wants to beat up quarterbacks and run the football. LeSean McCoy coming back, certainly happy news for Buffalo Bills fans.
Helps them, obviously, well, in an obvious way, I mean to say. For Pittsburgh, I wonder, you know, I talked about it earlier, law of averages. Sometimes good teams have that year, quote-unquote. I'm doing the air quotes here on the radio, which is always good radio. I just wonder if it's that year for Pittsburgh. Are they going to get buried into a hole that once Roethlisberger comes back and some of their other guys get back, Allen gets back, will they be able to dig themselves out of that hole in a competitive AFC? I'm not so sure that they will. Meanwhile, for Buffalo, it's odd, you know, because some of the guys that they've had out, not major impact guys. McCoy, getting Shady back, obviously the most important, and then the quarterback situation is what is of high concern
for them. Well, we didn't even get to Tyrod Taylor yet.
That's right.
You know, you're starting quarterback out this week. E.J. Manuel getting the start. He got in the end zone for the Buffalo Bills, but you can't lose impact players and expect your offense not to feel a blow. And Buffalo, the defense is going to be good. That front seven is going to be good. Secondary's got some questions, but you have to run the football. You have to be able to throw the ball down the field, or else I don't care who's playing on defense, they're going to pay a price in the fourth quarter of football games.
Yeah, I thought Carlos Williams was playing today, but he is still in the concussion protocol. So I just made that comment about key guys, not that many key guys being out, but I was wrong in that actually, because it's Percy Harvin's not out, not active with his hip problem, and Carlos Williams did not play today. That's my mistake. I thought he was active. So, yeah, a couple of guys of major impact, even though you got Shady back, without Harvin, without Taylor, without Williams, that is a big impact.
Chicago Bears trailing 21-13 in Detroit against the Lions, and Chicago getting Alshon Jeffrey back. And Alshon played in the first game of the season, but dealing with calf injuries, those soft tissue injuries, calf and hamstring injuries have hampered him. He's been able to get out there on the field for the Buffalo or for the Chicago Bears. And Jay Cutler now has at least one of his primary targets, Eddie Royal, who had been out dinged up as well, back on the field. So the Chicago Bears trying to piecemeal their offense back together until they can all get healthy.
Until their offensive line can get healthy as well.
It's bad,
and they've lost a couple of defensive linemen as well. Antrell Roll, if he has something left and he's not playing, then that becomes a big inactive. Not having Bushrod and the kid Becton is, of course, very important. I'm telling you, I still think Detroit wins this game today.
Well, they could.
They're going to get off that schneid.
Being an 0-for so far, an 0-for the season, not good in Detroit.
I think they'll get it.
With the offensive talent they have and the fact that they were a playoff team last year, something you certainly want to correct. And then obviously in Dallas, quarterback Tony Romo out. Yeah, they have a time frame, but what does that mean for a quarterback with a clavicle that's been broken? It looks like Dez Bryant is getting closer to returning to the field, and they will need those guys tremendously. I don't even know if they're going to be in the playoff picture once those guys get back on the field together. But, you know, hopefully for Cowboys fans, they will see a connection between Tony Romo and Dez Bryant before the season's over.
Yeah, I don't know, to be fair, what the timetable is for Romo. Do you have that? It should be about four more weeks, right?
Well, yeah, you're talking about another, well, it was 3 weeks ago. So, you're talking about
six to eight, another
4 or 5 weeks.
Right.
And that's just the timetable for the return. Doesn't mean he'd be able to take a blow from a defensive lineman who falls on top of him if he's knocked out or sacked. So still a lot of questions to be answered if he does come back.
And even when he is, quote-unquote, 100%, you're going to err on the side of caution to give him maybe an extra week. The old Freddie Gonzalez, Bobby Cox thing, give him an extra week off, extra day off. You're right. I think that's the crux. That's the point of your comment a moment ago. I don't know that they're going to have enough time to win that division, which, again, in my mind, is the only way you get into the playoffs from the NFC East.
Well, the team that should win it should be the it should be the New York Giants.
Right.
They should
read.
Even though they aren't a great team, they're the best of that bunch. Unless Chip Kelly can find a way to run the ball and get his defense in order, the Giants gave two games away, in my opinion, including one to the Atlanta Falcons. Had they been a better clock management team, they may have won that game against the Falcons. But they certainly should win. And the way Eli Manning has played, even though Odell Beckham Jr. now is a little bit banged up, they should be the winners of the NFC East.
And I don't think that Philadelphia and New York is a good matchup for the Eagles either, by the way. I think the Giants can play a good brand of physical football to where they can snuff out that run game for Philadelphia. I know some people will disagree with me on that, but as the season rolls along and New York gets better, which I believe is what's going to happen, I think Philadelphia have a tough time stopping the passing game for the Giants.
Carlos Medina passing along. Tony Romo's scheduled to return November 22nd against the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, so 4 weeks then.
So we'll see if that shakes out. Something else we know will shake out will be your information you're about to get as we send it back to the 680 The Fan studios for your 680 The Fan Red Zone update.
Let's go live to the 680 Sports Desk for a Red Zone update from Carlos Medina.
Thank you, gentlemen. Let's get you up to date with what's going on between the Arizona Cardinals and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Currently with about 30 seconds left in the first half, Michael Vick has returned to the ballgame after taking the blow to the head. He took a knee when he attempted to slide head first. Heard that before. And unfortunately, he was knocked out of the game for a number of plays. But the reason Arizona is on the board, one Michael Floyd.
And a touchdown to Michael Floyd. That's his first touchdown of the year. Only his ninth catch of the season.
That's a guy who spent the early part of the year hurt, but is now getting healthier and giving another weapon over to Carson Palmer again. 30 seconds left in the half. 10-3, Arizona leads it. I can tell you this. I do not know what the NFL deems a catch. Let's go to Detroit.
Stafford, end zone. The ball is juggled, and the Bears come up with it. An interception by Jonathan Anderson. Looked like a touchdown, but not held on to by Tate.
Tate catches the ball, takes two steps, does not complete the catch. It pops up in the air. Chicago intercepts it. Mike Pereira says it's not an interception. The announcers say it's an interception after replay. Touchdown, Detroit. Again, I don't make the rules. I'm just trying to interpret them. 21-13, currently Detroit at half over the Chicago Bears. Taking some of their frustrations out of being one of those teams that has struggled this year is the Miami Dolphins, up 17-3 in that ballgame. 20 seconds left in the first half. Marcus Mariota has taken a shot to his knee. He is not right. He is walking around very gingerly in this ballgame. It's going to be very curious to see how he's going to be against the Atlanta Falcons. Currently in Cleveland, you have another touchdown by the Denver defense. 10-0 in that ballgame at half. Buffalo getting on the scoreboard late in the first half with about 17 seconds left. They now close that lead down, barring the extra point, to 17-14, assuming that extra point. Let's take it back out to stats, home team, and Mooneyham.
Thank you, Carlos. You'll hear Carlos every 10 minutes for every hour until 7 o'clock.
Nas is in the tank.
You don't need a phone. We are going to save lives here on 680 The Fan. You don't need to look away. All you need to do is turn your radio dial as far up as you can get it, and you get the information, news nuggets, fantasy updates, injury reports right here on Sports Radio 680 The Fan every 10 minutes until 7 o'clock. And we heard Michael Vick coming back into the game. That's going to be my next question as we are in the concussion era. What happens when a guy suffers a head injury and then is deemed to go back into the game because he, big quote fingers, did not suffer a concussion? What does that mean if you get kicked in the head and you have to come out, but you're okay to go back in?
You know, unfortunately and fortunately, I have some experience with this. I've been caught in a concussion before. And working in the media, I was very fortunate to host a panel on concussion syndrome and awareness a couple of years ago in conjunction with the Touchdown Club of Atlanta.
How did you suffer your concussion?
Football.
Okay.
Yeah. The key is protocol. Protocol is the swing word nowadays when it comes to concussions on all levels. The protocol that you follow in any sport at any level will dictate whether or not team doctors, teams, players, the league, whomever, is liable, at fault, protected, anything in that respect. You can suffer a concussion if I fall back in this chair right now because I'm rocking back on the back two legs. I could fall back into this windowsill here at Stats and suffer a concussion. And whose fault is it if I go back on the air and say something stupid?
It doesn't mean you couldn't finish the show.
Soccer players, by the way, per capita, per player, soccer players suffer more more concussion injuries than any other sport. A lot of people don't realize that.
Will talked about cheerleading.
That's right.
Cheerleaders suffer a ton of concussions when they fall.
That's right. In the top three.
For some of those maneuvers they try to perform.
Top three are cheerleading, soccer, and football. You're exactly right about that.
Either one of those professions.
You weren't a cheerleader?
I was not a cheerleader. You know what? We had a teacher in high school who tried to get some of the guys to be cheerleaders. I wasn't one of them, but she was saying, you want an easy way to get through college and not have any student debt, you can get a scholarship and be a male cheerleader.
Yeah, be the base. You'd be the base.
I'd rather pay my way.
Okay. Well,
that's all right.
But
this is not my cup of tea.
Yeah. But in all seriousness,
very tough job to do.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot that goes into it.
Yes.
At every level to just discern whether or not the concussion has actually taken place. Again, protocol at all levels, in all aspects, at all times. That's the key to tending to concussions.
So, Mike Vick back in the ball game. A lot of games at the half right now. And one of those deals where we won't see the Atlanta Falcons. They get a nice window of time off after having the short week playing in New Orleans Thursday night. Didn't get what they wanted. Went into the bayou looking for a victory to make it six in a row. But they lose because of their inability to take care of the football. And so ball security, obviously something you don't have to harp on. Everybody could see that's the reason you lost the game.
Yeah, ball security, penalties, and lack of ability to get to the quarterback. You can work on turnovers. You can work on penalties. You may have to worry about your personnel as far as getting to the quarterback. But we think that we have some good young pieces, obviously, at least one especially, that can, at least in the future, provide that quarterback pressure and get some maybe double-digit sacks.
Yeah, I think we'll get a chance to talk about him in about 10 minutes. You know, one of the more interesting things about the Falcons is how they haven't been rattled. One of my issues with the Falcons, even before Dan Quinn came to Atlanta, is the Falcons' biggest problem, outside of not getting to the quarterback or having a great defense or finishing games or stopping losing streaks, not putting teams away.
Oh, yeah.
You know, being up, having a situation where the game should be in hand and putting the game away, something you see Tom Brady and the Patriots do, something you see Aaron Rodgers do when they have it rolling, something you see the Seahawks do. Eventually, if you're down by a score or two, the defense comes up with something, they score, they get a pick, and the game is going to be over. The Falcons, it seems like every Sunday, Monday or Thursday they are playing, it always comes down to something that happens in the fourth quarter. And to give them credit, even though it's been that way for many of the games so far this season, they have not been rattled. And I think that's the Dan Quinn effect. Everybody's just looking to finish out the game and not be worried about the ancillary things of the game. Just finish the game, which is his mantra, finish.
They seem composed.
Very composed.
Yeah. Well, we'll see once the pressure starts to build through the season. Again, I think even the most diehard Falcons fan would still believe this team, do they get to 12 wins? As losses start to fall into place, and I'm not trying to be negative out there now. I'm not being a Falcons hater. Again, I can't help but think we're going to find some losses here over the next few weeks. We'll find ourselves at, you know, 6-3 or 6-4 or 7-5, something to that effect. And you start to wonder, then, what will be the mindset of the team? But as for right now, I couldn't agree with you more. They seem very composed, very collected, and very sure of who they are and what they want to do.
That's why I'm not worried. You know, we try not to call our shots, but I'm not worried when they go up the road to take on the Titans. The Titans offensively shouldn't be able to score more points than the Atlanta Falcons. The Titans defense should not be able to corral Matt Ryan, Devontae Freeman, Julio Jones, and Leonard Hankerson,
yeah,
and Roddy White. So just because of talent and where these teams are in their trajectory, you know, trying to rebuild, I'm not really concerned about next week. I would be concerned if I see 7, 8 penalties or 2 more fumbles.
Yeah.
But I don't expect to see those things because making corrections is something also we've seen Dan Quinn be able to do in his early part of his Falcon tenure.
Yeah, absolutely, and I'm glad you brought it up. That's maybe the most impressive thing for me, because I think it's easy when you're winning to be composed. Of course, you're coming from behind and you're getting these wins, but I love the adjustments throughout the ball game by a coach. But, again, we'll see. You don't want to call the shot. How many points wins a Tennessee ball game next week, you think? Does 21 win the ball game, or do you have to get to 24?
I don't think it's going to be low scoring. I think if the Falcons get to 27, they can't score 27 points.
Right. But agreed.
They're having offensive challenges. Bishop Sankey hasn't worked out with their running game. They're really running back by committee when you look at how they've inserted running backs. And I say running back by committee. They're throwing the ball to their running backs outside of Bishop Sankey,
right,
because they can't run the ball. So I just don't believe the Titans should be able to outscore the Atlanta Falcons. So not calling the shot, but I'm calling the shot.
Right.
They should be able to go up the road and get the win.
And pull the secondary up, for goodness sake.
Well, we're getting ready to get a win as Carlos Medina is getting ready to fill us in as some of the games at halftime have come out of the half. and he will give us some news and nuggets around the NFL on our 680 The Fan Red Zone Update.
Let's go live to the 680 Sports Desk for a Red Zone Update from Carlos Medina.
Thank you, fellas. Let's get you up to date on what's going on. Most of the games at halftime, currently at halftime in Buffalo. Cincinnati does hold a 17-14 lead. It would have been a bigger lead, but Buffalo strikes.
And we'll flush that. Going to throw on the run. End zone. It is caught. Watkins for the touchdown. 22 yards on a strike from Manuel.
Thank you to CBS for that audio. Sammy Watkins was also injured on that play. Right now, Arizona looking to push their lead to push their record to 5-1 in the league. If they can beat Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh's had all sorts of issues going on offensively. And you have Arizona being able to tack on a couple more points.
31-yard field goal try by Catanzaro, who missed a moment ago, but this one right down the middle.
Thank you to Fox. That's now Arizona at half, 10-3 over Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh starting quarterback for today, Michael Vick, knocked out of the game for about a series as they were taking a look at him for a concussion. He slid headfirst and took a knee to the helmet, but he did return. Houston and Jacksonville, defensive battle out here.
17 seconds left. They throw to the middle of the field, and it's intercepted right at the goal line. Andre Howell picks up the interception for the Texans.
You do have Houston holding on to a narrow 10-7 lead. That's halftime in Jacksonville. Halftime in New Jersey with the Jets hosting the Redskins. The Redskins are able to tack on 3 points right before half. They do have a 13-10 lead in that ballgame. Minnesota, they were able to get a touchdown to Kyle Rudolph right before the half started. Coming right out of half, about 30 seconds in, still a 10-0 ballgame over the Kansas City Chiefs. At halftime, one of the wilder plays that you're going to see this year was a Golden Tate touchdown that now pushed the Lions' lead to 21-13 over the Chicago Bears in Cleveland. That is a 10-7 lead now as Cleveland able to get on the board with a touchdown. That's 11 minutes left in the second half. Coming back right here on 6 Head to the Fan, more NFL Bud Light Game Day and Red Zone Updates.
Explore Atlanta and try a new distance at the Atlanta 10 Miler, Sunday, October 25th.